And welcome to KOP Austin, 91.7 FM on your dial. This is your community radio station, KOOP.org, on the internet with our environmental talk program for this next hour. It's Shades of Green coming your way. And we dedicate today's program to the element of water, catching rainwater, growing things with rainwater, and just enjoying everything that element can bring to our lives as human beings on the planet. Stick around, we'll be right back with a little musical interlude and then some news, as well as an Earth Watch and live discussion today on rainwater catchment and some upcoming events in the community. Stick around. All right, and we're back here in the studio. You're with KOOP Austin. It's Co-op Radio, your environmental talk program right here on Community Radio for Austin, KOOP.org on the web, and the sound of Griffin behind us. We began today's program with their rain dance song, and doggone it, I've been looking forward to having my old buddy Chris in here from Innovative Water Solutions for so long. I'm so disappointed now that I forgot to bring my jungle sound effects that I recorded down in the Amazon. So we're going to run rain dance behind us a little bit, but Chris, we are really glad that you've been joined us today. Blake West and Chris Maxwell Gaines are Innovative Water Solutions. And basically, how long have you guys been around? You got this idea when you were down in the rainforest, did you not?
That's true.
Yeah, we were, I guess we've been in business about 3 years.
Three and a half.
Yeah, 3.5 years. And we met in the Peace Corps. We didn't know each other before, and we both went to Texas A&M. Forgive us for that.
We'll forgive you for being Aggies, you bet.
But we decided to go into the Peace Corps and with our wives, and we met down there, and we came back after a wonderful experience in Suriname, and kind of was been talking about doing something, and before you know it, you know, we started the business up. And so
I think what happened, we were driving our wives crazy talking about harvesting rainwater here in the States. Finally, they got together and said, why don't you have them talk to each other so we don't have to listen to the same conversation.
I see. Well, what did you guys see that inspired you down in Suriname? What were people doing there as far as keeping rainwater during the six-month-long dry season?
Well, the rainwater systems down in Suriname are really low-tech, especially in my neck of the woods in Suriname, where my wife and I were stationed. Basically, it was 55-gallon oil drums that people would, collect after the gas was out of it, and so basically we survived. My wife and I survived on a 200-gallon cistern, and we did all of our potable water drinking, cooking, and then in the rainy season we did our personal washing with it. So Blake was a little bit different experience, but it's really low tech. I mean, it's just basically collecting it off the roof, right straight into a tank, and then just having a spigot and a bucket to take it out of there.
No purification required? Or
we did. Peace Corps issued us a tabletop filters, whatever, but indigenous people, they just would drink it straight.
Yeah, they drink it as it is most of the time.
Well, even I fished out the occasional bat or frog, and and without electricity, the bucket filter worked out quite well.
I would think so. Well, we want to congratulate you. Having only been in business for 3 years, you now, Blake, anyway, is at least a public TV star after the This Old House series, where you guys were the resident rainwater catchment experts.
That was a great experience.
It was fun. We kind of have heard how intense it was trying to pack everything. Bill Oliver was sharing with us how intense it was trying to pack a lot of information into a number of minutes on public TV. But one of the things that we wanted to ask you about is how you go about designing a system for someone. How briefly, I mean, not at length, but how does that whole process happen?
Well, it's really a matter of finding out what they want to use it for, also what the budget would be, what sort of room you have to place the tank. That's a big factor because they can be rather large. And I would say that's a big part of it, is what they want to use it for, what their budget is, and where you can put the tank.
And what are the different options as far as the make of tank? We heard from Dick a while ago that the ABC rainwater tank is fiberglass. What other materials are there?
Well, we try to really have our clients dictate, you know, what type of tank they want to use so that it can either fit into their landscaping plan or they can actually try to landscape with it. And so there's also, along with the fiberglass tanks, there's corrugated metal tanks. There's just your kind of normal plastic tanks.
Like a poly tank.
Polyethylene tanks. And then there is also, I guess, what galvanized metal.
Galvanized metal.
Tank that Dick alluded to. And I guess, you know, above ground, underground systems. And those are really the main materials for tanks. There's also a timber tank that's a local representative brings in from New Zealand, but...
we haven't had the opportunity to do one of those yet.
Yeah. So that's really it in terms of tanks that are out there.
And then the ferro cement kind of thing, I guess that would be more permanent and built in. You got to really plan on pumping concrete for that.
And those are really more economical when you're talking large storage. And, you know, if you just wanted to do a small, you know, 1,000, 2,500, 5,000, there's other options out there that are more inexpensive than the labor that it takes, because the ferro cement actually takes a lot of labor. So,
well, we really enjoyed looking through your website, Innovative Water Solutions, which
it's
is
really impressive.
Is it Watercash?
That's correct.
Watercash.
And it's not catch, it's C-A-C-H-E rather than water catch. Although I guess you could catch water in your mouth if you were thirsty, you know.
Well, you sure could. It's a cache of water.
Yep. It's got a lot of useful information on it in addition to talking about the various kinds of rain barrels. It talks about water conservation. And I don't know, I was pretty shocked to tell you the truth, you know, what you guys said on your site about it only takes a gallon of water to wash a car. But does that car really need to be washed?
You haven't seen my car.
Oh, my God. Right. I had a truck for years, and I don't think it got washed but two or three times the whole time I had it. And that was because I'd parked it on South Padre Island, and I needed to get the salt off the undercarriage. It's right. Good to hear someone else dare to voice that sentiment.
Well, if you collected rainwater, then you're actually doing, you know, two good things. You're collecting rainwater to wash your car, and you're only using a gallon.
A gallon, that's right. So, that's right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I apologize. We've had so much good information coming your way today that we didn't get a chance to get into some of the detailed stuff that I wanted to, but tell us about Austin Gutter stuff, too, because that's kind of a sideline that you do, but how is it related to Innovative Water Solutions?
Well, we really got into that because we needed a way to keep the debris out of the gutters, and it's... We're not professionals at working with gutters, so we needed it to be fairly idiot-proof, if you will. And that's really what we use it for, is a filter. The gutters are your first line of defense for keeping your water clean and your system clean. And
so it's basically about foam, the gutter?
It's a foam filter that you stuff in the gutter, essentially.
And it's really meant for keeping debris out, so you don't have to ever clean your gutters again. But we really found that it was a great use for blocking out the large debris so it doesn't get into your rain tanks and settle to the bottom and eventually gunk up your outtake from the bottom of the tank.
So I know you guys are actually a commercial operation, and we can't mention prices or anything being nonprofit here, but is it cost-effective to have that, and do you generally need the Austin Gutter stuff in addition to whatever filtration you have for catching rainwater off the roof, or is it an either or?
I'd say it's an either or. If you don't have any tree cover, then you'd want something to keep critters from entering into your tank. But you could find a lot cheaper method for doing that. The only time we really suggest it is if you have a lot of tree cover, and that's an obvious problem.
So in Austin, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So here's a question. I probably should have asked Dick this when he was here, but if you are building a new house in Austin, for example, can you have your only source of water be a rain catchment setup and be legal in the city? Because I know at one point they said you can't get a permit to build a house, and this also goes with electricity, that you had to be hooked up to the electrical and water system. And is that still the case?
Well, as far as we know, we've installed rainwater systems for potable water in the city.
And no connection to the city water system?
No, it is connected.
And just because you're connected, does that mean you have to use it?
No, you don't. And but they do have requirements. Their cross-connection program does have requirements for how you go about connecting those two water sources. And so the actual connection requires a backflow preventer that has to be installed by licensed plumbers, et cetera. Okay. Our projects, they use the rainwater when they have it potable-wise, and then
okay, so you're actually kind of connecting, I don't know if it's parallel or series with the city, is that right?
In series.
Series, yeah. So that if you have your rainwater, you use that, and you probably never are empty in your tank if it's sized properly in the right roof. Then you're kind of backed up by the city, but you have to have those two plumbed properly and
that's
piped
correct.
So that you don't back feed into it.
The better way, if you're in the city building a house, the better way to actually use the rainwater is, you know, mostly in for, you know, landscape irrigation, just so you don't have to get into the issues of dual plumbing and all the associated costs with that. It's better just to offset your potable water use that you would use on your landscape with natural rainwater versus trying to create an elaborate system to actually pipe into your house. Just because a lot of times your storage capabilities are really diminished on an urban lot. And so you can go to that water really fast, especially trying to use it for landscape irrigation of grass and, you know, those large kind of turf areas. So
I know I've seen Dick Peterson's home system. He's got a couple of fairly small tanks and a couple of ponds that he feeds with it, and they don't actually have it interfaced with the house. It all goes to garden and actually a water pond kind of situations. Well, how far afield have you guys gotten? Do you do mostly projects within the city limits or out in the hill country or what?
Well, I would say that this old house project has changed our focus a bit. Primarily, I would say our bread and butter has been potable systems in the hill country. But with they have so many viewers, we're now getting a lot of inquiries about landscape systems.
Here more in the city.
And we're happy to do both.
Yeah. So are the hill country ones all off-grid, if you will, or off, so they're all their own water and
their
own
water.
So I guess I don't hate to go back to that same question, but you can't actually build then in the city without having city water. Can you be completely isolated?
No,
I wouldn't
no,
say that I, this is in the city.
In the city of Austin,
you do have to
connect
have
to the water.
Water connection. Now, if you use the water or not, that's something
that's
different.
That's a different issue.
But
I see.
Yeah, you do have to be connected just for public health sake.
Right.
Safe,
get a permit to build the place.
Yeah. Aside from just irrigation, the other good thing that rainwater collection can be good for is alleviating flooding problems or stormwater runoff, things like that.
So emergency type situations.
Well, and that also, there are potable systems we set up within the city that aren't connected to the house itself, but in the event that they were to lose water, they would have a clean source of water they could use as a backup.
A couple things that you guys point out in your website that I think are important is, one, reminding people that it takes energy to get water to your tap, and so collecting rainwater is a superior choice from an energy standpoint as well. And you also point out that if you're collecting rainwater, but you're not particularly using rainwater, like water-conserving habits or water-conserving fixtures in your home, that kind of almost defeats the purpose.
That's correct. And doing our potable systems out in the hill country, we really focus on, you know, making sure that the household has very low water-consuming fixtures because it's their only source of water. And so if you bring in an old washer rather than, you know, spending a little money and buying an up-to-date washer, you know, you can really zap your water supply really fast, and that's all you have. And so we really, you know, talk to people about that. And it's really, you know, that's where you can get most of your gains. It's just through water-saving fixtures. And then once you step past that, really it's to rainwater harvesting or recovering your gray water.
And choice of landscape is huge.
Yes.
Also.
Right. Well,
so 15 gallon per minute water shower heads aren't really recommended. Huh?
No, do not use those.
All right. Chris Maxwell Gaines and Blake West are Innovative Water Solutions. And I guess is there a phone number people could call if they don't have web access?
Sure. It's
932.
All right. I rarely call it.
Yeah, well, I understand. But we appreciate you guys being here. And again, they're at, you can find out about Innovative Water Solutions at WaterCache, that's all one word, watercache.com. And Austin Gutter Stuff, I guess you've got a link on there too. And well, we'll have to have you back another time when we can really get into a little bit more in depth what it was like for you guys to do the Peace Corps down in Suriname. Because I don't know, it really captured my heart being in the northern parts of the Amazon rainforest, and it's a whole different approach to water. And it looks really nasty, but it's perfectly clean and drinkable a lot of the times in the streams.
Yeah, you're right. Well, and
I don't know about our streams.
Until now, there's lots of gold mining being developed, and so you're getting into mercury pollution and stuff. So it's changing down there. It used to be pretty pristine, but it's changing.
Mm, definitely.
Right. Well, thanks, guys, and congrats again on being selected for the this old house thing.